Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as we face the issues. We pray that you will join in the dialogue and discussion. This broadcast is designed around you, our listener. It is our desire and prayer to see you informed, encouraged, and challenged to be salt and light in the society in which we are living in. And it all is based on the Word of God, what I call a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? The Bible is a source book of truth, not just partial truth or occasional truth, but it is truth from cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." The key to it, ladies and gentlemen, in being free is to continue in the word of God. That is to constantly be in, to constantly study, to constantly pray over, to constantly allow the word of God to permeate our hearts. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you do that, then you're my disciples indeed. And the evidence of that is you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Jesus Christ is the apex, the epitome, the capstone of truth. And then he identifies that further in John 17:17, when the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is truth. It's not a matter of what some ideological bent says. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma and the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations and how they might interpret or misinterpret the word of God. I'm always amazed, ladies and gentlemen, at some of the things that is being said that God said and that's in God's word that's not there at all. You can listen to some of the fake, phony, false teachers today, and they're filled with some of the rhetoric about God's promised to give you more today. He's promised that you'd climb higher today. He's promised that you'd have a breakthrough today, et cetera, et cetera. You won't find that in the Word of God at all. But Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we need to be seeking in every aspect and avenue of life. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We're finding that to be more relevant every day. You speak the truth and some are going to get angry, some will get upset, others will want to retaliate. But it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus, that made these statements. Let me read them to you carefully. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. May I commend that to us today, that we seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even if it means dying for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowners brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of landscape and lawn care power equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner, including hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power generation and the backup equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tool for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about a subject today that's pretty varied, but at the same time, I have a focus that I want you to grasp and understand and respond to. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain and have dialogue and discussion with you. I pray that you're listening enough and you want to participate and join in the dialogue and discussion that will help enhance what you hear and what you understand from others that call in, joining in the dialogue and discussion. I've had some say, you know, I really want to get in my 2 cents worth. Well, if you do, dial 831-0917, 831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today, have we lost our moral compass? Have we lost our moral compass? There's a vast movement today, and let me just give you a brief overview, and then we'll break it down and look at the illustrations of what's happening. There's a massive, massive attempt today to undermine and tear down and destroy the home, the family, our faith, and the future of America. There is a demonic delusion that is covering the world, and in particular we find here in America today, where that demonic delusion says that everything is all right, should be no restraint, should be no rules and regulations. The Word of God is simply obsolete. In fact, some are saying that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. Others are saying that hell does not exist, finding those that will say the Ten Commandments are not relevant today. And I could go on and on and on. Those are coming, by the way, statements, ladies and gentlemen, from false, phony, fake teachers standing in the pulpits and preaching and teaching that diatribe that is antithetical to the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I get a little weary with these folks that are coming out of the pop-up churches that I call them. That is, those that have all kinds of unusual names for the churches, and they're preaching and teaching things that do not exist, that are not found in context of the word that is being spoken. I find that most of these come out where they pick a little phrase here, phrase there, and a phrase over there. They'll bring it together and make it sound like God said it in context, but when you read it, it is totally out of context and totally antithetical to what's being preached and taught today. But one of the major things that I think is harmful to the Christian movement, the Christian church, and the Word of God going forth today are those that will preach and teach that, yes, we know that there's an undermining of society. Yes, we realize there's persecution and prosecution of the church. Yes, we realize that it is intensifying across America. Yes, we understand that there's a move to destroy the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But as Christians, we just need to keep on preaching the truth, telling the truth, talking about Jesus, and leaving all of this alone. In fact, there's some major religious broadcasters that harp on that fact that Christians ought not to get involved in society. We need to just keep on telling about Jesus. Whatever comes, let it be. We submit to the government and let that be it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true biblically. You go and look at Ezekiel chapter 33, and you find that the watchman on the wall is responsible for warning of the dangers to come. And if the person that's warned does not listen, the blood's on his hands. But if we fail to warn and say, this is what the Word of God says, this is what's happening, this is what we ought to do, then the Bible says the blood is on our hands. Well, I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want the blood of society that is rapidly being destroyed. I don't want that on my hands. In fact, when you look at Isaiah 58, you find the watchman on the wall is to cry aloud and warn of sin and the dangers therein. And that's exactly what this broadcast is about, ladies and gentlemen. Contrary-wise, we have those that say that a pastor, preacher, teacher ought not to be involved in social, economic, political, governmental things and talk about them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the Scripture, and you've heard me say this so many times down through the years on this broadcast, God created the home, and He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. And in doing so, if we speak about any of those categories, we're talking about biblical things. In fact, throughout the scripture, it's an impossibility to segregate, segment, and divorce from one from the other. It is a one whole of life. And when we studied the scripture, we realized that, ladies and gentlemen, there were those in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that were faced with choices. Daniel had a choice, but he refused to follow and be obedient to what the government said, and he took a stand, and God honored that and blessed that and used him as a result of it. The Apostle Paul said, you've charged me publicly. You're not going to sequester me and take me out the back door and somehow make it right. I demand to be heard by the global court, if you will. And that's when he was taken, of course, to Rome and ultimately beheaded. But ladies and gentlemen, we understand that there's a world that's about us that is trying to destroy all that is good and godly and holy. Ladies and gentlemen, those on the right to the truth, those that are standing for the right to life, those that are standing for religious liberties, are under attack and under siege as never before. We're seeing the leftist courts and the judges on the left and the socialist Marxist Democrats across America attempting to destroy the morals and the ethics and the values of all of Americans. The freedom of speech, the right to life, and the religious liberties are all under assault today. I read probably analyzing, looking at articles and news pieces, probably an average of 50 to 100 a day, literally speaking. And as I do so, what I'm looking for is what's taking place on a national, international basis, especially in America, ladies and gentlemen, as relates to biblical truth, as relates to the Christian, as relates to how we ought to live our life in view of what's happening on a global basis in the world system. We ought not to be sequestered into the side and hide in the closet and somehow think that somehow, some way, all of these things are going to disappear and go away when we understand the world's not going to get better and better. But if I can use poor grammar, the world's going to get badder and badder. Better said, worse and worse. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that taking place today. The Bible says that our children are a precious heritage from the Lord. Now I'm paraphrasing the text. Our children are a heritage from the Lord. They're precious in the sight of God. We're all created in the image of God. We're all created with the right to life. We're created with the right to live. Only God has the distinct privilege of determining when we'll be born and when we'll die. But today's abortion and infanticide is an all-out assault, ladies and gentlemen, on life, liberty, the family, and our future for all that we think is normal and holy. In fact, I've got a lengthy article here, and I'm not going to bore you with the entire article. Of course, it wouldn't be boring to me, but I'm not going to take the time to just read verbatim the entire article. But it's from James Dobson. James Dobson, : Colorado votes death for precious boys and girls who survive abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's dated February the 15th, 2020. The article says, Colorado lawmakers have voted death for precious boys and girls. Longtime Christian evangelical leader James Dobson is warning. It was the decision of the state's lawmakers against a plan to protect children who survive abortion and prompted his comments. Quote, this week, representatives in my home state of Colorado made a decision that a child's life is expendable. Specifically, legislative committee member voted, committee members voted down a bill that would have required doctors to provide medical care for a baby born alive following an attempted abortion. Quote, make no mistake, this is Dr. Dobson speaking, make no mistake, this is not about abortion access. It's not about the right of choice. This is not about bundle of cells or clumps of tissue. This is not about my body, my choice, or any other despicable euphemism or excuse employed by the to minimize the horror of killing an unborn child in the womb, Dr. Dobson says, end quote. The Colorado legislature is controlled this year by Democrats in both houses, so it is the decision that is not should not be really be surprising. After all, this article says, after all, it was Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, who perhaps summed up his party's position on abortion when he stated just months ago, quote, the infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother. Ladies and gentlemen, the article continues by saying, the Democratic majority member in Colorado's legislature have rejected a bill that would have granted legal protection for babies born alive after abortion. The bill, 1068, threatened $100,000 fines for physicians who failed to exercise the same degree of professional care, skill, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child as a reasonable diligence and conscientious physicians would render to any other child born alive at the same gestational age. It also requires that any born alive child be immediately transferred to a hospital, the report said. And it goes on to talk about how it was out of hand rejected by the Democratic legislature, how they refused to pass the bill and rejected. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, simply put, the bill would have provided that if there's an attempted abortion and the baby survives, that the physician, the hospitals, would be required under penalty of law with a threat of a $100,000 fine if they fail to provide medical care for that child to try to preserve the life. And the article goes on, Dr. Dobson continued, this is about the tiny survivor of choice. This is about precious boys and girls made in the image of God who survive an attempt to end their lives. This is about where the medical professionals who take an oath to bring healing and not harm should be required to exercise the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child born alive after an attempted abortion that would as they would for any other child. Quote, this is about leaving a helpless and wounded baby to die alone on a porcelain table, he charged. Democrats said, you made an abhorrent decision. You have chosen your political platform over humanity, decency, and life itself, Dr. Dobson said. Every child matters, and it's precious in the eyes of the Creator. May God help us if we allow this culture of death to continue, Dr. Dobson said. Further, says the Colorado Democrats have a long history of advocating for killing the unborn. It was the first state to legalize abortion after Roe versus Wade in 1973. In fact, I believe it was in 1976 that Colorado instituted laws legalizing abortion for the state of Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding this pervasive in our society today. I believe we have lost our moral compass as a result of what we see taking place with the death that is taking place by way of infanticide and euthanasia, the death that we see by way of murder, which is called dressed up in the cloak of calling it abortion, or a woman's choice, a woman's right to choose. But ladies and gentlemen, that's absolutely a moral declension for America as we watch this culture of death continuing. Here's an article that says, Virginia Dems storm out after a black pastor condemns abortion, gay marriage. Woe to anyone who harms an innocent child, the preacher said. Ladies and gentlemen, this may this pastor's mindset continue, and may others take the stand just as he has in relationship to this. Let me read you the headline again. It's dated February the 12th of 2020. Virginia Dems storm out. That's the Democrats now storm out of the legislative chambers after a black pastor condemns abortion, gay marriage. Woe to anyone who harms an innocent child. Then the article reads, state Democrats stormed out of the Virginia House chambers Tuesday after a black pastor condemned abortion and gay marriage through his prayer. Reverend Robert M. Grant, Jr. of the Father's Way Church in Warrington, Virginia, addressed the Democrat-controlled House of Delegates with an opening prayer that condemned abortion and gay marriage, according to the Media Research Center. Grant's prayer caused members to storm out of the chamber and for one member to yell, is this a prayer or a sermon? Well, God bless the preacher for taking a stand. Further says the pastor defended his decision by saying, the state house belongs to all of its citizens. Quote, and all the citizens have a voice, the pastor added. If it's my turn to have a voice, I am, as a pastor, going to say what needs to be said. What do you expect me to say? If you don't want to hear what the pastor says, then don't invite me to, don't invite one. Quote, end quote. Further quote, he says, I pray that you may understand that all of life is precious and worthy of a chance to be born, Grant said. God is the giver of life, and people have no right or authority to take life. The unborn have rights, and those rights need to be protected. They should never be denied the right to exist, the right to develop, and the right to have a family. Grant told the delegates that God gave them a warning, woe to anyone who harms an innocent child, end quote. Every one of you sitting here today, the pastor said, can guarantee these rights to these little innocent children of Virginia, he said. Please do not ignore these little voices. I pray for a heart change today, and may the Lord God have mercy upon this leadership, end quote. Further, Grant told the delegates that we should never rewrite what God has declared, saying that Virginia always protects the biblical definition, saying that Virginia always protects the biblical definition of marriage. That marriage is between a man and a woman. Democratic Speaker Eileen Filler Corn banged her gavel and ended the prayer summarily, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about a three-page article. It's wonderful, wonderful to see a pastor that's willing to pray sincerely before God, asking God to intervene, asking God to bless, but at the same time asking God to condemn the act of murder by way of abortion that's being carried out in state houses and legislatures across America. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that declension that is taking place, and it is exponentially doing so. There's a major problem, ladies and gentlemen, morally, ethically, and biblically, with what we see taking place with our governmental agencies, with the governmental system today. But it's bad enough to see that when it comes to the socialist, Marxist Democrats and what's taking place in the legislative bodies. But it's sad, ladies and gentlemen, when we see mainline denominations taking the same stand. It's bad enough when we see secular, immoral, ungodly legislators. And ladies and gentlemen, I say that definitively because that's exactly what we find with any of the legislative bodies that's ruled by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats in today's society. They have lost their way. They have lost their ever-loving mind. They have lost their moral compass. In fact, I don't believe they have a moral compass at all, ladies and gentlemen, but it's doubly bad when it comes out of a denomination. Here's an article that, according to a poll, says four major denominations support abortion completely. Ladies and gentlemen, the article says the poll conducted by the Pew Research Center reveals that most mainline Christian churches and many denominations agree that abortion should be legal. You hear me? Many of the mainline denominations say that abortion should be legal. In all or most cases, with the Unitarian Universalist Church leading even atheists and agnostics in their advocacy for the legal lethal practice, quote, even though less than 50% of evangelicals and Catholics believe that abortion should be legal under virtually every circumstance, nearly all majorities of mainline Christian churches support abortion in some way, with several major denominations casting their support for the controversial procedure at the later stages of the birth or before the birth of the child. 79% of the Episcopalians, 65% of the Presbyterians, 58% of the Methodists, 56% of the Anglicans support legal abortion, according to the Pew Research poll. The article further says, even though the Bible clearly warns against the evils of abortion and teaches about the sanctity of human life and it is only God's to take, more and more churches across America do not share God's word with their congregation on this important moral issue. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply insert a thought here before I finish reading another paragraph in this article? The major problem in America today that is the absolute trigger cause of the moral declension in society comes from the pulpits in America, where we have spineless churches, spineless pastors, spineless denominations that refuse to stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. If you're in a church, ladies and gentlemen, where the pastor teaches or preaches that abortion is all right, if you're in a church where the pastor, preacher, teacher, or the denomination embraces abortion or embraces the sodomite lifestyle with the LGBTQ community, if you claim you're saved, get out of the church. Find a place where the Word of God is taught. Find a church where the Word of God is believed. Find a church where the Word of God is embraced from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text without apology, without picking and choosing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Ask your question. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We're asking the question today, have we lost our moral compass in America? And may I simply quickly insert the statement, yes, we have. And it's as a result of the political mamsy-pamsy embracing of everything that's immoral in the political agenda. And it's being done as a result of the moral declension that's found in our churches today. This article says, and I finalize it by saying this, traditionally Christians teach that every human life is sacred and valuable from the moment of conception to the natural death, Life News reported. Yet it appears that many denominations, especially mainline Protestant denominations, may not be teaching this at all. And I say that's one of the root causes, if not the absolute root cause of the moral declension in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, at one time, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, you would find the pastor on Sunday would stand and proclaim truth from the Word of God. He'd call out the immoral actions and the immoral votes and decisions by the political leaders. His message would be printed and then posted in the on the marquee in the center of the little town so that everybody would see what the pastor said in relationship to what the politicians were doing. Today, it seems that the politicians and their movements are being embraced by the ones that are in the pulpit that should be speaking truth and preaching the Word of God. We've allowed the world to come into the church, and the world's culture and the world's concepts being embraced in the church rather than vice versa. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the declension that we're in today as a result of that. The whole issue when it comes to the churches and denominations is that there's a push to have the church accept what the world is doing. So the Word of God becomes less important than the culture and the conduct of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God that should be that which sets the stage and sets the standard for the activity in the world. It should be the Word of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that takes a stand and says, thus saith the Word of God. And allowing that to permeate the hearts and the lives of those in the society around us. But nevertheless, we've had the open door policy that the world can come in, the world's ways are going to be embraced because of what I call the numbers, nickels, and noses, whereas the mindset of most denominations today that we've got to pack the pews, we've got to fill the parking lot, we've got to have the wow that brings everybody in, and so we've got to water down the message because, after all, you wouldn't want to offend somebody. That's the mindset. That's not the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, remember God's word warns that the church, for example, the church at Ephesus, had left its first love. It is a matter of not understanding or totally ignoring that fact that, ladies and gentlemen, that the Word of God demands that we take a stand on truth, demands that we be salt and light in the society in which we're living in today. And that is simply not taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the sad issue of abortion is just the tip of the problem. It's the tip of the iceberg, if you will. We see the shift toward acceptance of the LGBTQ agenda. We see the entrance of the moral decline in everything that's taking place in our nation today. It is destroying the morals and the ethics and the values of our children, our family, and our faith and our future in America. As the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic candidates for president, all of them, ladies and gentlemen, every candidate running on the socialist, Marxist, democratic side, every one of them, embrace abortion, embrace the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. They embrace everything that's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. And yet I am shocked, I am saddened, I am absolutely surprised when you find, for example, with Pete Buttigieg that he says, and he is an open in-your-face married to a man sodomite, but yet he says, well, if I'm elected president, I'll bring Christianity back to the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, that is laughable. If nothing else, laughable. But yet we find that mindset, Elizabeth Warren and each of the other candidates, including Bernie Sanders, all of them are wanting to embrace anything that's immoral, ungodly, unholy, if it might get them another vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the responsibility we have as a church, as Christians, as Christian conservatives, is to stand on the Word of God and to speak the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, and live for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.